Amen. Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody. I know that's been said to you already today, probably multiple times, but it never gets old, does it? So let's do it again. Merry Christmas. We're going to get into a message this afternoon. We're going to get into God's Word. We finish up this series we've been in through the passage found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the names of Jesus given to us. We sang about him. Rachel just mentioned him. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and today, the Prince of Peace. And so, don't you just love Christmas? Man, it comes so quickly, quicker every year. And yet, it's been said there ain't nothing over like Christmas. Once it's over, it's like, oh. But so we want to milk it for all it's worth, because it's about celebrating the best thing that's ever happened, the best gift ever given. So as we get into this message on Jesus, the Prince of Peace, I think it's important that we understand that this time of year is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, according to Andy Williams, right? And yet, for many, let's just be honest, you're in church, let's be honest, after all, it's the most stressful time of year. All kinds of different stresses experienced during this time of year. I mean, just let's go down a partial list. There's the stress of Christmas shopping. Anyone ever get stressed out about Christmas shopping? And it's maybe because you want to find the right gift, the best gift for someone you really care about, and just deciding on what that could be or should be is really, really stressful, because this person might be really hard to buy something for. Anybody have someone like that in their life? That can add stress to your life. Or maybe it's once you decide what you're going to buy that person, you start looking for it, and because you weren't diligently looking for it back in July, like all good Christmas shoppers are doing, it's all sold out and unavailable, and now you're stressed out about that. And so you're stressed out trying to locate that prized gift. And then there's the stress of preparing food. How many of you get stressed out? Let's be honest. You get a little stressed because you're either going to a gathering where you're expected to bring something, or you're hosting a gathering and there's a lot of food to prepare, okay? And maybe you're stressed because you got a group coming over, family coming over, relatives coming over, and you got to get the house all ready, and there's stress of that. Or maybe it's just the stress of the family coming over. Anybody here have any dysfunctional people in their family? Okay, don't raise your hand. Well, don't elbow them, for sure. Don't do that. You say, well, no, but, you know, my family puts the fun in dysfunctional. There's that stress. Then there's just the weight and the sadness of this time of year for many people, because it marks the acknowledgement of someone who's really special, or a number of people who are special, who are no longer with us. And that's heavy. And it can be, you know, anxiety-laden kind of moments and just kind of stress-producing. And that might well be why, of all the biblical passages read at Christmas time, the most famous and familiar just might be Luke 2, verse 14. And we sang it many times probably already today. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what? Peace. On earth. So let's do peace when I do this. On earth. On earth. On earth. Right? On earth, peace. And the verse goes on to say, among those with whom God is pleased. I mean, that phrase, peace on earth, is on all kinds of Christmas cards, right? It's the one everyone makes a beeline for, that phrase. Everyone wants to share that phrase around Christmas time. The most famous Christmas word of all just might be peace. And it may just well be the most wished for thing at Christmas, and maybe throughout the entire year. How many of you know what the standard answer to the question the beauty contestant is given? What do you wish for? World peace, right? I mean, and there's some truth to that, right? We long for peace. It's on our hearts to want that, but it can be the most elusive thing in the world. How long have we been at war? How long have we had no peace? Seems like forever. And ironically, think about this. This is the time of year we set aside to celebrate the Prince of Peace. And yet it can bring the most anxiety and stress in one's life. And so today, as we conclude the series, we're looking at those names of Jesus in Isaiah 9. We see this kind of peace that the Prince of Peace brings. That's what we want to talk about this afternoon, is the kind of peace that Jesus brings. Notice we're going to look at the positional peace he brings, and then the experiential peace we can experience with him, and then the incarnational peace. That's what we're going to look at together. Before we go any further, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the peace of Christ. We thank you for the peace of Jesus, who is the very Prince of Peace himself. May we understand him better today. May we embrace his peace in our lives. Show us what that looks like, what it is, and help us to be bringers of peace wherever we go, because we've spent time looking at your word. Teach us, Lord, through your scripture, we prayed this afternoon. Amen. Amen. First of all, notice on your outline, there's a positional peace that we have to understand before we can experience any other type of peace Jesus might bring us. It starts with a positional peace. You say, what does that mean, a positional peace? It's a kind of yoga position? No, I'm not talking about that. It's the positional peace, meaning in our relationship to God, that we are in a position of peace with God. What do I mean by that? See, the peace that's been introduced to us at Christmas is not initially a peace within ourselves. You know, there's a lot of people who say, you gotta feel at peace with yourself, and that's a good thing. How many of you like to feel at peace with yourself? Yeah, we want that. But that's not the kind of peace that Jesus initially brings. That's not why we celebrate Christmas. He brings a positional peace we can now have between ourselves and God. We can occupy a place of peace in our relationship with God because of a peace treaty he came to bring us through Jesus. See, it's not even a peace between people. As much as we want peace among ourselves, it's not about that. It's a peace between us and God that we most desperately need, that brings all the other kind of peace and makes it possible. Christmas is all about God making peace with us through Jesus. A guy by the name of Justin Brierley, he writes these words. Can you celebrate Christmas without Christ? Now, before you answer that, don't answer out loud, but think about that. He asked the question, can you celebrate Christmas without Christ? His answer is, well, yes, you can. And he says, I don't blame anyone wanting to enjoy some fun, food, pretty lights in the midst of the darkness of winter. But if you celebrate Christmas without Christ, I think you're missing the point. It's a bit like rushing downstairs on Christmas morning to open that long-awaited present under the tree, tearing off the wrapping paper, opening the box, taking out the packaging, and then finding nothing inside. What's in there? Nothing. If there's no Christ at the center of Christmas, all you've got in the end is the decoration and the wrappings. Christ at the center of Christmas, you'll discover the gift that it's really all about. In Hark the Herald Angels Sing, hymn writer Charles Wesley hits it on the head in that very first line. What's it say? Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. It's God and sinners who are at war who can come now and be at peace because of the reconciliation God initiates. That's so important to understand too. I don't know if we really understand or appreciate as much as we should the extent to which God went to reconcile us to himself. Romans 5 says the offer of peace came to us. Let this sink in, okay? Let this next phrase sink in. God offered peace to us while we were still his enemies. Not while we were seeking, because we were seeking peace with him, no. But while we were his enemies, when we had rebelled against his rule in our life, when we thumbed our nose at God and said, no, thank you, God, I can handle my life well enough on my own, thank you very much. When we were not seeking him, God sought us. I can't imagine, can you really, when you stop and really try to ponder the humility that took for God to humble himself, to come to us, When we were seeking him, not really caring about him, he came close to us, allowing himself to be swaddled and placed in a feeding trough for animals. That's just the beginning of it, right? All of our biggest problems can be summed up in one problem. Our biggest problem is enmity with God. But here's the good news of Christmas. We can receive reconciliation. We can accept peace and come into his family. We're no longer just not at odds with God or no longer in conflict. Like the peacekeeping units of the United Nations, you know, they're always sent where there's what? They're always sent where there's conflict. They're not keeping peace, really. They're trying to just keep people from killing each other. That's not the kind of peace Jesus brings. Peace is not just an absence of conflict. It's a peace that surpasses all human understanding. It's a peace that we can now have with God, a positional peace. And all the other peace that we think about when we think about peace flows from that. And you got to have that before the other kind of peace, which is the next thing on your outline. The next thing we get from that, when we have positional peace with God, we can experience real peace, an experiential peace. Okay? This is pretty powerful. When you go to Philippians chapter 4, and I encourage you, if you have your Bibles today, whatever time it is, if you'll just open them to Philippians 4. Some of you, many of you have it on your phone, which is great. If you need a Bible, anybody ready to need a Bible and wants to look? We got Bibles. Just raise your hand. No one's going to look because you don't have a Bible. But you might want to look at this. Let me read it to you. Write it down on your notes at least. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Talks about this experiential peace that's now accessible in Christ. Don't be anxious about anything, okay? That's what the Bible says. Don't be anxious. What's that? What's anxious? What's anxiety? Just the opposite of peace, right? Okay, so it's really practical stuff. Don't be anxious. Don't feel unpeaceful about anything. That's really hard to do. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And notice, here's the promise. You do that, and the peace of God himself, which transcends all human understanding, will then guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul is writing this letter to a place called Philippi. And guess where he is when he writes these words? He's sitting in a prison cell, folks. He's imprisoned, possibly facing execution. So do you think he knows a little about stressful situations? Right? I mean, we can't just dismiss this and go, oh, that's just a guy writing the Bible. No, he is awaiting execution. He writes, hey, don't be anxious about anything. Thank God. Present your request to him. He'll hear you. And his peace will, which transcends, here's the deal. See, we want a peace we can understand. And the Bible says Jesus is a Prince of Peace that transcends our understanding. Right? He's saying, hey, there is a peace which transcends all human understanding. So here's the question this afternoon. How do we access that peace? How do we get that peace? Notice the verse itself gives us the answer in that passage. We get the peace of God. I read it to you just a moment ago. I'll read it again. Which transcends all understanding, that guards our hearts and minds in Christ. We get that peace in Christ. It's not a mystery. It's no secret. He's very clear. Here's how it goes. Since Jesus is the Prince of Peace, when he rules and reigns in one's life, there is peace because he brings his own peace into that life. John 14, 27 has Jesus saying, peace, I leave with you. My peace, oh, that's so important. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. I give a different kind of peace than you're used to getting in the world. Because world peace is based on circumstances. World peace is like when everything's lined up, when I have the Hallmark Christmas and all the kids are behaving and everybody's well, and you know, then I can have some peace. That's not the kind of peace he brings. He says, that's the world's kind of peace. I leave with you my peace, which gets, if you're taking notes, write this down. This is the peace that actually characterizes God himself. This is the kind of peace he promises that is actually who he is. God doesn't just have peace. God, in essence, is peace. Just like God doesn't just have love, he is love. It's part of core of who he is. Now, how many of you know that because we're created in God's image, we share some of the same emotions God shares? Like, have you ever gotten angry? Raise your hand. Who's gotten angry before? Yes. Some of you are going, I never get angry. No, we all get angry. Guess what? God sometimes gets angry. Have you ever experienced disappointment? Oh, yeah, God's disappointed. Have you ever experienced sorrow? Yeah, a range of emotions God shares with us. But you know, there's a couple of emotions he doesn't share with us. Think about this. Never in Scripture do you see God ever worry. He's never fearful. He's never anxious. He's never stressed. Isn't that interesting? Because all those things are the exact opposite of what? Peace. He has what the Bible says in the Old Testament. He has shalom. Shalom is who he is. Where he shows up, there is integrity, there is unity of thought, mind, everybody. There's the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God the Father. They share this wonderful unity in the Trinity. They share peace, shalom. And so it's so important. Isaiah 26 says, God will keep in perfect peace, shalom, those who trust in him. And why is he, write this down, God's peace is a perfect peace. Write that down somewhere. God's shalom is perfect peace. Why? Because God's peace is dependent on who? It's dependent on himself. And guess what? God is perfect. God's peace is permanent, therefore, because God is permanent. It's not dependent on anything in this world, because everything in this world has been made by him. He's outside of this world. And so his peace is out of this world. So you want a peace that's out of this world, you got to get his peace. Now, you may be here today, and you're sitting here thinking, well, wait, I believe Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I mean, I believe that, but why don't I have peace? I mean, I feel like I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. Believing in Jesus is not the same as Jesus being the Prince of Peace over your life. Merely believing in Jesus is the same as surrendering to the rule and reign of the Prince of Peace in your life. It's very, notice again, the text we looked at in Philippians. Believing in Jesus as Prince of Peace is very different than being in the Prince of Peace, in relationship with the Prince of Peace. It's very different than allowing Jesus' way to penetrate your life and moving in that peace that he provides. And so notice this on your own. Here's the key to this. To the degree that we submit to Jesus, leadership and rule, we'll experience his peace. To the extent that we submit to his reign, to his leadership in our life, to his direction in our life, that's the extent to which we'll experience his peace. And to the extent that we don't, to the degree that we aren't submitting to him, we won't be experiencing it. So let me ask you a question or two this afternoon. Does my life really reflect the reign of Jesus? Is every aspect of my life under the reign of Jesus? And to the degree it isn't, we're going to find out, instead of peace and peace and tranquility, we're going to experience stress, anxiety, and conflict moving into our lives. In the words of that great bluegrass artist that you probably never heard of, Dale McCoury. You know Dale? He's a good guy. He sings about, he goes, I feel like the blues are moving in. He's got a song called, I feel like the blues are moving in. I'm telling you, if you don't look to Jesus as the Prince of Peace and get his peace, you're going to feel all kinds of things. Because if you haven't surrendered to him and submitted to him, you're going to feel, like, take the area of finances, for instance. Do we take Jesus' leadership and leading in how we steward his resources he's given to us to take care of? Like before major purchases, do we seek his will? Someone wisely pointed out that we're conditioned in our modern society to ask just two questions when thinking about a major purchase. And that is, do I want it? And can I afford it? Sometimes not even the second one. But a lot of us would say, well, if I can answer yes, do I want it, I can afford it, we just go ahead and buy it. Well, the one who is submitted to the rule of Jesus, we have to ask the next question, and that is, does God want me to have it? Does God want me to have this? Because we don't live under our own rule anymore. We live under Jesus' rule. I mean, perhaps you can well afford it, but maybe God doesn't want you to spending the money in that direction because he wants you to direct it to something else, maybe ministry or missionaries or helping others. And to the degree our finances are submitted to him, we're going to experience peace in that area, you see. But to the degree that they aren't committed to his leading and guidance, we're going to experience anxiety and stress in our finances. Take the area of our time. Is our time submitted to the Prince of Peace? Jesus says this, seek first what? Seek first the kingdom of God. Make that a priority how you spend your time. So let me ask you, this is a great question we need to be asking ourselves on a regular basis. Am I spending time with God? If God's the most important thing, do I spend time talking to him? Do I spend time reading his word and hearing from him through the teaching of scripture? Do I use my time to be the hands and feet of Jesus to help people that God brings across my path? And if to the degree that you put Jesus first and he rules your schedule, you're going to have peace in your schedule. You're not going to be running around like a chicken with your head cut off all the time. How about this? Relationships. In the area of relationships, are they good? What about, are you submitted to his ruling your relationships? If you're in a romantic relationship, is it honoring to God? Or have you been kind of seduced to accept the loose morality of a pagan culture in which we live? Are our relationships with others good? In other words, do you have resentment towards somebody you haven't forgiven? The Bible says, hey, when you're under Christ's rule as Prince of Peace, as far as it depends on you, Romans 12 says, you be at peace with everybody. Now, you can't reconcile with everybody. You can't reconcile with someone who doesn't want to reconcile with you, so you're off the hook. If you've tried and they don't want to do that, at least you've done what you can do, and you can say, I'm following God's leadership. I'm under the rule of Jesus. And to the degree that our relationships are submitted to the reign of Jesus, we're going to enjoy peace in those relationships. But to the degree they're not, we're not going to find peace. Instead, we're going to be surrounded by stress and anxiety. Now, Jesus being the ruler of our entire life is not only about having him rule over our time, our resources, our relationships. More importantly, here it is. Don't go to sleep on me. More importantly, it's about having him rule over our inner life, over our inner world, having him rule over our hearts and our minds. So we'll experience peace, notice next on your outline, to the degree we find Jesus is enough. This is probably the biggest thing that will allow us to access true shalom in our lives. This one, this point right here. To the degree we find Jesus is enough, we will find peace. See, his peace is only truly experienced when he rules over our hearts and our minds. When he's the source of our worth, the source of our security, the source and the source of our significance and value. And that's why Paul says what he does about this peace of God, the shalom of God, being that which transcends all human understanding. Why? Because it's not dependent on circumstances. It's dependent on Jesus and him alone. Yes, there's a peace you can enjoy because things are going well and things are going easy and things are going good. And guess what? That kind of peace makes perfect what? Makes perfect sense, right? I mean, how many of you would choose chaos over circumstantial peace? No one wants chaos. We would all. How many of you enjoy circumstantial peace? That's great. But it's not a rocket scientist you got to be to understand why that's so. It makes sense, right, to be happy and to be carefree when your circumstances are what? Happy and carefree. When you have that Hallmark Christmas where everything goes right, no one fighting, everyone's well, everyone's getting along, no financial stress because you didn't overspend, your health is going great, and of course, you have peace because your circumstances are peaceful circumstances. That's total totally reasonable and totally sensible. That's that kind of peace, circumstantial peace. Why? It's based on pleasant circumstances. But as soon as your circumstances go out the window, oh my, that peace vanishes. It's out the door. That kind of peace is anchored to those circumstances. And now that those circumstances are gone, it's gone right along with them, that peace you were holding on to. That's not the kind of peace that transcends human understanding. That peace is fleeting. It comes and goes. But the peace that Jesus brings as a Prince of Peace transcends human understanding. Why? Because it transcends circumstances. And because it's based on Jesus himself. And guess what? Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13. Health, finances, relationships can all be here today and gone tomorrow. And many of us are experiencing that even this year, or maybe the last 3 years, or whatever the time frame is, where this world just seems to be more chaotic all the time. The circumstances can all change. They're all iffy. But in this fallen and ever-changing world, there's one thing we can count on that's always the same, and that's the Prince of Peace. He never changes, and that's good news. So when our significance and security and heart and mind are anchored in him, you have access, we have access to that peace that never changes, that transcends all understanding. It's the kind of peace you can have sitting in a prison cell waiting possible execution, like Paul had. That's real. That's possible. That's accessible when our peace is in the right thing. And the source is the right source. Now, to have that peace that's anchored in Christ means it can't be anchored in other things. Here's where it gets really hard, folks. You can't have your peace, your life, anchored in something other than Jesus and still experience his peace. But that's what we want to do sometimes. That means, practically speaking, we have to stop looking at other things other than God for our peace and our sense of security and our sense of worth and our sense of value and our source of significance. In other words, what are some of those things? It might be your kids. Some of you might put your kids, man, as long as my kids are doing fine, it's all about my kids and my kids. And hey, are kids a blessing? Yeah, they are. Some of you can think about that. They are a blessing. I mean, everything in life, anything in life can become a God thing. A good thing can easily become a God thing, take the place of God. That's called idols, right? And we just have to be careful that we don't make good things into God things. And our happiness and our peace is not found in our kids or our job or our status or our health. How many of you, man, it's so easy to have your peace because you're healthy, but man, health is here and then it's gone. Or the right relationships that this person's around in your life, and they might be for a while, but every one of us is gonna have to say goodbye to this life at one point. And when we let go of all these things we're used to clinging to, guess what? The reality, here's the good news this Christmas. When you let go of all those things you're afraid to let go of and you're clinging to so hard, so fast, you let go of those things and start clinging to God, the Prince of Peace, you start to find the stress go down because you start experiencing his peace in your life. When you allow Jesus to give you your significance and he be your the one who gives you worth and value, you enter into that peace. We sing a song around here sometimes. It says, I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you, speaking about God, then God, you came along and you put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing, what? Better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. When you stop clinging to these other things and start clinging to Jesus and Him alone, you experience His peace flooding your life. I'm just telling you, I want so much for everyone in this room to experience this peace, because that's what Christmas is all about. You're opening up a gift, and if it's not Christ and His peace, you're looking into an empty box. And here's the funny thing. And I'm closing soon, so don't, you're like, oh. This is Christmas Eve? It's too long. Okay, the funny thing is this. Once you anchor yourself in Christ, His peace actually allows you to fully appreciate the blessings. Because the reality is, when you let go of all those things, you're actually better at loving all those things. See, we're afraid to let go because I'm going to lose. But no, when you put Jesus first, seek first His kingdom, and guess what? All these other things will what? They're going to be added to you in the right order. And once you put your faith in Him, you start going, man, I have a resource like I never had before. Because when I'm clinging to this person, I'm so needy. If they don't respond the right way, it shatters my world. No, when you put your faith in Christ, you don't need them. You only need Jesus. And now you're free to love them out of the peace that Jesus provides you with. See, when Christ is your all and your everything and He's enough, now you can relate to those precious people in your life not out of neediness, but out of the fullness you have now received, and you can actually love them with a better kind of love than you're giving them now. Your love you're giving them now without God is not that good. You go, well, I'm just telling you, it's not as good as when you put God first. When you look to, because you're finding your security. You're needing them to make you feel valuable. You're needing them to make you feel significant and secure. And when you stop looking to them and you get that from God, you can start loving them like you've never understood what love is like until you do that. And last thing, real quick, the last type of peace. Just quickly, I want to mention this. It's incarnational peace. You go, what's that? Incarnational peace. Because once you accept the peace treaty with God that He's offered you, and you start experiencing that peace that surpasses all human understanding, that's guarding your heart and light and mind in Christ Jesus, you can't help but start offering that peace to other people and wanting to see them enter into it. You start incarnating the peace of God in your own life. That's what Jesus came. He was the incarnation. And then He starts living in us, and we begin incarnating the real peace of God flowing through us, in us and through us, to others. If you're in Christ and you're submitting to His reign in your life, you've got this peace and you can start sharing it with others. Here's the question. Would you agree that a lot of anxiety these days, would you agree there's a lot of anxiety these days? Like it's off the charts in our country, in our world. Let me ask you this. Do you think it's going down or right, going higher? Let's just be honest. It's going higher. You got to be living, you know, I don't know where, out in the sticks somewhere with no TV or no communication to not believe it's getting worse. How many of you know people who could really use real peace? They're all around us. They're here, maybe. That's why we need to be people who are positionally at peace with God, who experience the peace of God, and then get out and start being on mission with the incarnational peace of God as we love people and care for people and reconcile with people and show them there's a better way. So let's pray. Oh, mighty God. Jesus, thank You for coming to rescue us. As the mighty God, for bringing the message of truth we all need, because You are the wonderful Counselor. Thank You for being the Prince of Peace in this crazy, turbulent, ever-changing world. And if you've surrendered to Him this afternoon, this day, and you've accepted Him, and you're clinging to Him, you'll realize He's enough. And so as we go to the communion tables, now in our church, when we gather weekly, we have communion stations around the perimeter of this room. One over here, a couple here, over here. You'll see them. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're following him. You're his. You're at peace with him. You've entered that peace treaty. This time it's for you to re-up and remember and remind yourself about who he is and what he's done for us and the peace that he brings. And it's just a time to just focus on him and thank him for all he is and all he's done. If you're here today and you haven't yet done that, we hope you'll maybe take that welcome card you got maybe when you came in. And if you're thinking at all about what it means to follow Jesus and experience that peace, would you let us know? And if you want to talk to someone even before you leave this place, we would love to talk to you about how you can just know today, this Christmas Eve 2022, that you know the Prince of Peace, that you are at peace with God. Use this time to do a little inventory, a little time with God. So maybe ask yourself, God, is there, and ask the Lord, God, do I have anything in my life where you're not bringing peace? My finances, priorities, time, relationships, God, I want to submit them to you. Because I want Jesus, you to be my everything. I want you to be enough. And I cling to you today. We pray all this in Jesus' name.